The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed that. Anyway, you'll find a way.
Catamaran home!
No, I just wanted to start again.
Why don't you start podcasts the way that Mark Maron does? It's halfway through a conversation, man. Don't you like that vibe? Why do we got to start with the introduction? It's just happening. It's rolling.
But people won't know who you are. People have to know.
I'll introduce myself.
He's got Barack Obama on the podcast.
Hello. James, I think you're doing amazing things.
This is your Obama?
I ain't got very good impressions.
How dare you come in here and do a black voice? You know what I found out is that SNL did not have a cast member.
What do you mean?
He's Indonesian. They didn't have a black cast member when Barack Obama became president. Fred Armisen is Obama.
Hmm?
Yeah, Fred Armisen is the first.
Jay Farrow.
Eventually, I think they hired Jay Farrow, but to begin with, Fred Armisen is their Barack Obama, and he does a pretty good Obama. And it's long enough ago
they just didn't do blackface on it.
No, they just left him as like a Hispanic guy. I couldn't believe it. And then no one's gone back and looked at it, presumably, or left a comment. So there's no one be like, that was inappropriate. How dare you? It's like, can you do that? Can you have a white guy?
I mean, I think Fred Armisen probably looks more like him than Kenan Thompson.
Yeah. There's other things going for it. But if I do a Busta Rhymes impression, is that okay?
Let's see it.
I'd love to go for SNL.
How
and
fast
be like,
can you go?
I'm Oprah. Everybody, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Have you heard BBL Drizzy yet?
No.
This is the end of the Drake Kendrick feud.
I'm done now.
BBL Drizzy. No, you're gonna love it. It's a song someone's brought called. Everybody pause this and listen to BBL Drizzy and we'll come back. I'll just give you the context. Metro Boomin, who's part of the feud, made a beat called BBL Drizzy, and it's like anyone can rap on this, and the best anti-Drake rap, you get $10,000 and the beat.
You're crowdsourcing hate.
He's crowdsourcing the hate, and it's gone wild on the TikTok. Hold on, let's play it. How good's BBL Drizzy?
That was awesome.
Isn't that great? That's all. Now, what Drake has to do to come back is rap on BBL Drizzy, I do believe. Like, his next diss has to be over the top of BBL.
He's
got to
make BBL Drizzy his next big single.
That's got to be. Oh, he's got to buy the
right. The best thing is to not even do a diss.
Yeah.
Just make it.
Just
a
talk
great
about how
hit and profit off it massively.
Yeah. It's too good a song.
Like, make that a number one, huge smash, and then you just post how much money he made from it.
There was one of the Kendrick ones was a. DJ Mustard, and it's like it does go hard, and you could play that in the club. And then on Drake's response, he's like, "Man, I would have danced on that in the club if you didn't call me a pedophile."
A lot of music will be ruined for you if you are called a pedophile on it.
Yeah, imagine you go to listen to Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, start a side B,
James McCann is a pedophile.
I was like, damn it, George. How you going to do me like that?
I guess you say James is a pedophile today.
Man. Young girls. Yeah, there we go.
He's talking about
young girls. Young girls. Oh. Yeah, some of those songs you don't have
Speaking of temptation.
You don't have to push very... Well, like Ringo's, one of Ringo's big singles was like, You're 16, you're beautiful and you're mine.
My dad's favorite song.
Do you know who's in the video clip?
Who?
Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher. She's the 16 and beautiful girl.
He was right.
She's 16 and beautiful.
She picked it. He picked it.
Baby, I'll dress it. I can't stop.
So is that like, I don't keep tabs on it. You know, this is not me. I don't know. But it's hard to avoid any of this.
What?
Did Drake win? Did Kendrick win? Or is it just a wash?
Well, Shane is a huge... Drake fan, and he has been. He went out.
I saw he went viral because he said, he's going to be. Yeah, but that was at the time when everyone was making jokes.
5 years ago, everyone was saying it. Millie Bobby Brown. And someone said at the show, like, who do you reckon's winning the feud, Drake or Kendrick? Overwhelmingly, people think Kendrick has won, even though he's never responded to the allegations that he's a wife basher. That's one of the Drake things. Drake's like, you hit your wife. And Kendrick's like, you're a pedophile. And it's like, the next one, Drake's like, I'm not a pedophile.
What I was wondering...
Are you going to address the wife beating?
What about the stuff where Drake said that his team, who supposedly leaked information, it was a false leak? I mean, the way that these people talk, it sounds like some 1950 CIA versus KGB.
It's Chase Bank.
Double agent.
It's Chase Bank leaking on Wells Fargo. Also, he could just have made that up. Like, that would have been a good thing.
That's something that I would 100%.
You can only can only come back at that with the, you can't do the pedophile. Well, I actually leaked that I was a pedophile, so you'd say that. So now who's a big silly?
Deepfakes.
Yeah.
Mm? You bought into those deepfakes with me and Millie Bobby Brown. Ha! Idiot.
Now, I got to say, this is the James Donald Forbes McCann catamaran plan. I'm trying to buy a boat. We did an episode just now. It's on the Patreon. You can go and join the Patreon. We've been friends for.
Since 2010? I don't know.
Yes. And we've known each other for longer.
Yeah.
We did not get along at first.
This is true.
But we've been very close friends.
Well, just because James was a fat nerd.
Yes. He makes some good points. You're the easiest
man. And you, wore linen shorts. And
Amos.
You had a big peen.
Amos, notoriously the easiest man in comedy to get along with. Everybody's best buddy, Amos Gill, never has a hard word for anybody. I love you. You were the best man at my wedding. We've both done comedy. We're both trying to make it in the business. We've tried a couple times when we lived together to do a podcast.
Not really, though. Because I was doing a radio show, and every time you want to do a podcast, I was like, I'm tired. I don't want to.
There was one day where you drove me around in your car, and I set my phone up on the dashboard to record it. That's as close as we got to doing a podcast.
I don't ever do it. It's crazy. I did so many years of radio.
Yeah.
And then I've just never.
Oh, they absolutely wouldn't let me in that. They let me on the mic on the weekends for 6 months before.
Yeah, so I had a show and I had a period where I had some hand at the station. I tried to get James a radio
you
show.
You would call it hand. You would always call it.
I have hand.
I have hand.
And I gave James a hand, and he grabbed onto that hand, and he did a radio show, and he had a segment on there called Horsing Around, where he would play a horse sound effect going.
I thought it was a good segment. I was never able to respect commercial radio enough to do anything but a bad parody. My favorite one was Where is the Most Shameful Place to Have Hair? Where we would spin the wheel of hair.
And people would go, oh, I reckon the big toe hairs.
Here's a big one.
Pretty shameful.
The not-so-secret sound I did for a long time, where I would tell people what it was, but then they had to guess something they couldn't hear. So I'd open a packet of chips and then say, what flavor are those
chips? It's an iPhone. That's an AirPod case dropping. Call in.
What kind of Apple? Is it the Pros? Is it the 2? Is it the Beats? Yeah.
So we had a very unsuccessful
For whatever
broadcast.
Reason, they wouldn't give me a proper job, and we never got a proper podcast.
We had a very unsuccessful broadcast career.
Amos Gill on JDFM. I will have inserted a radio stinger there. Here's my plan. We start our own commercial radio. We do it as a podcast, but we do it in commercial radio format.
Can we still get our old bosses involved just to get some negativity around?
I would get Jack involved for sure. Jack, button pusher Jack,
and can we
has gone on to be, he was pushed out and then he went on to be the like work on the top show beautiful.
He was my favorite person. He's like the guy that was the anchor of the show.
Was so obviously being bullied out of that station.
And he was a legend. And he was, he made me feel great when we'd do the show. And they were like, he has to talk less. He's now got the biggest podcast
in Australia. He's got the biggest podcast in Australia. 1 minute remaining. Like the perfect example of a man who was unfairly picked on and then just went, I'm going to be great and show all of you. I would get him involved in a heartbeat. I love him.
Well, he would probably want to get involved. For those who listen to his podcast, you know what he does? He just calls
inmates.
He calls inmates in American prisons from the Gold Coast in Australia and just chats them. And they're like, I didn't kill that bitch. He's like, okay.
All right.
Right. Well, let's talk about what happened. And I was speaking to him about it. And he's like, yeah, you do talk to a lot of them. And you're like, I should probably do my research.
I think you might have done
that. He might have killed that woman.
He might have killed that bitch.
He's like, it's a real gamble.
Well, if he would do it, I mean, he's going to be a busy man. He's got a family.
Not gonna do it.
He's going to have too much on. But I think we should ask him. But here's my plan. We do a podcast. Amos Gill on JDFM, because my initials form a radio station. It ends in FM. I mean, that's a gift. And then we see if this is part of the catamaran. We do this under the catamaran plan. We see if a radio station in Australia will buy it and put it on as a national show.
Oh, you're already thinking about selling us out to an Australian radio station.
Let's record it. And if they go, hey, we'd actually like to put that on the air. It's like, all right, fine. Pay us the money. Then I buy a boat.
I'd like you to have a sermon on commercial radio. After some ads for National Tiles, you just come on and you talk about the gospel.
Well, look, I was meaning, that was in my notes for if I was going to do the podcast alone. I was going to talk about the book of Mark, which I don't think I'd ever read start to finish. I'm really a gospel according to John guy. And I
rank the gospels.
Well, John for me is number one. And then Luke, probably number two. Matthew, weighed down in the details. You know that. But Mark is 16 chapters long. It's not long. It's like 20 pages. It's super to the point. It's super immediate. It's like no jokes. there's some jokes in the other ones. I think Mark actually might do the bit where one of the disciples has his robe come off and he has to run naked. It's sort of funny. It's sort of funny. Anyway,
how many
it's
gospels
really good.
Were not accepted?
There's a couple. Yeah.
Can you get a hold of them?
Oh yeah, they're around. Most of them are around, I think.
And was it because of the quality of their writing? Were they like,
people at the time were just like, oh, this is not as good. It's funny. This is one of the arguments because the Catholics, the Protestants go like, it's the Bible. Everything has to come from the Bible. And the Catholics are like, yeah, we made the Bible. There were all these books we didn't put in it and we had to write it. There was a church before then. So like, how are you going to decide which books are in and out? And the Protestants do like take out a couple books that they don't like. Because it's like sola scriptura. Not that one.
It would have been wonderful if they had a really simplistic writer at the time. Just a real common man who was like, there was a man called Jesus, the Son of God.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
He died. There was some fish.
I got to be honest, that's pretty much what reading Mark is like. Mark is like, Mark doesn't do the birth. Mark doesn't do much after he comes back. It's like, John the Baptist was there. He was baptizing people. Our Lord was baptized. Then he walked around, did some miracles, didn't want anyone to see about him. Then he went home. People didn't like him there. Went into Jerusalem. They killed him. He came back.
Yeah, it's like asking your son what he did in school for the day. Yeah. And then this happened.
But John is so poetic. But anyway, Mark, I'm going to have to read Mark again to get more out of it.
You do that when I leave because I got to get ready for my show.
No, of course.
Well,
of course.
I want to tell a story.
But we can do some. I think we should be allowed to do some of that on our radio show in Australia. Absolutely. Why shouldn't we be allowed to do that?
The pagans have had enough.
We've got to fashion a cord and whip these money changers in the pit. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
I'm not saying money changers as Jews. They were all Jews in the temple. I saw a look when I said money changers that you thought I was being anti-Semitic.
No, that was what I will say is that just the word commercial radio got into my head and I looked at you like this, dump. Because what you have to understand about commercial radio is there's just a culture of saying nothing.
Of course.
Note. You just look around at people.
That's why when, you know, where do you keep the ketchup? Where do you keep the tomato sauce, pantry or fridge? That's a segment. That's a real segment you could do on commercial radio. Pantry or fridge. Call in. Butter. Pantry or fridge.
Yeah, what we don't do is go, do you think interest is wrong?
Hey, is usury always a sin? And what is usury exactly? Sin or okay.
How much of a vig is acceptable?
Stick it in the bin. That's like, for me, the archetypal Australian commercial radio podcast segment. Well, not podcast, just radio segment. Is call up. What do you want to stick in the bin? Which is what we call the trash
charity
can.
Muggers. People on the street that ask you to give money to charity.
Stick them in the bin.
Stick them in the bin. My shoes.
Stop.
My shoes hurt my feet because they're too small. Stick them in the bin.
Speaking of charity muggers, we're walking today to go look at the Colorado Avalanche's ballpark stadium.
Man.
And a guy comes up to James and goes, do you care about, was it trees? What was he getting us?
It was animals.
Animals. You care about animals? And we all said, oh, no, we got to get somewhere. And out of nowhere, this charity guy just goes, hey, man, gingers don't have souls, but if you donate some money, you'll get it back.
He was like, did you know 80% of gingers donate to charity? And I said, better men than I. And he goes, yeah, they're trying to buy their souls back because they don't got one. It's like, all right, mate. All right, I could.
Truly were racially vilified.
Are we going to get into it? You and I, you want to start a racial slinging match right here on the street? I was happy to leave race out of it.
Well, let's talk about 80% of...
We've hit the dump button there.
Stick it in the bin.
We've hit the dump button. That's the sort of thing we'll be able to do on our podcast.
Move it to the trash.
Well, I'd like to talk about something before we all have to go, which is a cool experience.
You're really ready to get out the door. It's only... What time's your show?
Well, this is going
to
be...
It's 4:50. Okay. You got time.
Yeah, I got to go shower and get ready.
Hold on. Is this a new talk break? Because if it's a new talk break, we got to do the stinger again.
I thought we were just doing a regular podcast.
Amos Gill on JDFM.
I love Post Malone.
Oh, yeah.
I truly love Post Malone. And when I worked on radio, maybe it was the only songs I was enjoying that we had to play. And I had a mental breakdown in 2015. It was particularly bad. I had a breakup and Post Malone's I Fall Apart had just come out and I was riding my bike up the Mount Lofty hill and I fell off my bike and was sobbing thinking about this relationship while Post Malone kept saying I fall apart. It touched me deeply and I downloaded many of Post Malone's songs and rapped over the top of them. These songs
you did that on commercial radio.
And I ended up releasing one of the songs on commercial radio, which still to this day gives me what we call the douche chills. It's horrible.
Here's a weird fact about that. You record... There's a couple weird facts about this. Your timing was so bad, I would stand with you in the booth and squeeze your shoulder when it was time to start the new rap line.
I'd just be like wide-eyed, bobbing my head, and you'd squeeze me and I'd go, start talking. I'm bowling. You go, you've missed it.
You've missed it. You're off the beat. It's the one and the three. And then also, you released that White Iverson rap cover and then as a joke released it to a bunch of radio stations throughout regional Australia. And one of them really liked it and wanted to have you on as a rapper. And you were like, this is all a joke. And he took it wrong. Do you remember this?
Yeah, so I released this breakup song to White Iverson. And it went, I'm bowling over you. And this guy was like, man, I think you got something. And I went on Mount Gambier Radio. And this guy was like, hey, I got this new artist called Priv Ledge. That was my rap name. Priv Ledge has just done this drop about how hard it is for men in a breakup. Hey, man, it's really good to have you on here. I think this song's going to help a lot of men through a difficult spot. And I was like, hey, is this a pre-record? And he goes, yeah. I go, yeah, man, it's a joke.
It's a bit.
It's a bit that I'm doing about mumble rappers. And he was like, well, you don't have to make me feel like a dick about it, basically. Like, because he said he was a bit of a hip-hop expert in the area and like he had a hip-hop show. And I was like, mate, if you're singing my praises, your credibility is shot to pieces.
13-10-60, when have you gotten the wrong end of the stick?
So anyway, that being said, it was an amazing experience for me to go and watch you perform at the Forum, which is wild. It's like near where I live and I drive past it all the time and it's the biggest artist in the world.
I'm going to cut to it. 13-10-60, when have you been the plus one to get to see Post Malone?
Well, James was performing there. It was really dope. And I didn't know
plus one of a plus one.
I didn't know anybody there other than James and Shane. And they were obviously about to go on and they've got responsibilities. So I'm lingering around and...
I'm in the green room.
And James, about 10 minutes before this, had bummed a cigarette off Post Malone.
You've gone into full broadcast mode. All the clip of your speaking, you've gone back into being in a radio station. This is great.
I'm even sitting upright.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, the program director could be looking at me and I'm getting paid a lot of money and I'm slumping.
This is an important story about you meeting Post Malone. Let's get some sizzle on this one.
I met Post Malone.
You met Post Malone.
And I met Post Malone because you bummed a cigarette off him and then you had to go off and I just kept talking to Post Malone.
He's the sweetest man.
I had the rarest thing where, you know, when you have a social, you're a bit socially anxious in a
social blanket.
He was my safety spot.
Yeah.
Which was wild. Of all the people, and there was 100 people backstage. The only person I was comfortable talking to about how awkward I was Post Malone, who was kind of the same, who was the biggest sweetheart in the world, chatted to us for about 2 hours while the show was going on. And then afterwards...
You're telling the whole story. You're driving this one.
I'm driving this one. I'll get to this bit. Right. Afterwards, there was talk that Post Malone was going to take some people to his studio to play us his brand new album.
Amos and comes over to me and he goes, can I come to see Post Malone? And I'm like, Shane has been invited. I have already asked if I can be invited. I went to Shane and I said, can Amos come too? And Shane said, absolutely not. No. And then I was like, I'll go and tell Amos. But then before I could get there, he'd already gone over to you and said, get in the car. You can come and see Post Malone.
No, well, what happened was is I just was like, okay, fine. Because I had a flight to catch at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it was a gift that you were being said.
So I was like, it is 2 a.m. I should probably just Uber home. And then Shane saw that I was Ubering and he was like, jump in the car.
He's the sweetest man.
Sweetest man. So we go over to...
the place where the studio is. James hit the dump button.
James is making me hit the dump button because I revealed that the... That it turns
out, I wouldn't give out where it was.
It turns out famous people live on the sun.
I'm going to keep dumping it. I'm going to keep on dumping you saying
you
it.
You wouldn't believe this.
Stop it.
Movie stars live.
It's my podcast.
Michael Jordan has a home in Chicago.
There you are. I don't think he does. I don't think he does anymore. I don't know what is allowed and what's not allowed, and I keep it all very tidy on the podcast.
Sam Morril's in New York.
Well, yeah. That's...
Oh, you're not going to... You don't care about Sam?
I have never met Sam Morril.
Okay. So anyway, we go to...
If it's someone I don't know, I'm happy to give out the exact coordinates of where they
are. We go to the radio studio, the recording studio, and you can talk us through the rest of this. Is one of those... I live in LA and I bitch about it all the time.
We got there at like 2 a.m.
I bitch about all the time. But this was one of those reasons that you go, oh, there's some benefits to living
full
in this
story
town.
Yeah, we got there at 2 a.m. and we're going to listen to the album. Post Malone just played his favorite songs for 2 hours.
We were told we were going straight into the album, but he set the vibe of...
And by the way, I'm so glad he played a lot of great MGMT track. He played Little Dark Age. We were open about dancing. But as it came closer to 3 a.m., I thought, I'm going to have to go home now to the hotel. And now I'm also doing a radio bit. Man, it's going to be so hard to do a radio-style show in a podcast type. It's something gets in... The brain kicks in and goes, you're doing radio! He started playing the album at 3:30. It's great. Like everyone's album, though, it's 16 tracks long. If there had been one dud track on the album, I would have walked out and gone home because I was so tired.
It kept us going. We just kept looking at each other doing album. The number one finger.
This is number one. Yeah, everyone kept throwing ones in the air. Post Malone's new album is... Also, I don't know in what state I was to judge it because, again, we listened to it at 4 a.m. I was absolutely hammered. I was hammered and I just done a huge arena show.
We'd had so many Bud Lights... And we'd smoked a lot of cigarettes. And it was one of those experiences where you are like, is this great or am I just with the artist and I want this to be awesome?
I think it's great. I've been thinking about it. And handily, one of the songs has come out since then. It's like, oh, thank God, it's as good as I thought it was.
I have played it.
It's so good.
So many times since I've been here in Denver.
It's going to be the number one record.
It is brilliant. And for me, I mean, I got this photo of you.
Yeah.
Which I put on Instagram. And it's you... First of all, it's just like you sitting next to the recording desk and Post Malone smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And the DMs I got on that were, why does James look more like Post Malone than Post Malone?
Yes, by not having a haircut and letting my beard grow out, I've accidentally come into a cool look.
And so I'm thinking...
I'm getting the braids. I've got to get the braids.
I got home to my girlfriend at 6 a.m. I had to be at the airport by 6:45.
Yeah.
She was like, where have you been? And I was like, I was at Post Malone's house listening to his new album. That's why I smell of cigarettes. I have not cheated on you. I just listened to a man's album. And she's like, excuse me? I'm like, gotta go. I'll see you in New York.
JDFM! And Amos Gill. We need songs on the podcast. That was a good rave. We call that a rave in the business.
James,
you just tell something
you
that
keep
happened to you.
Dumping me and starting again, yeah. Telling me what the take has to be. You have...
I'm producing the show.
No, you have picked up Alpha Energy off Shane Gillis. I don't like this music.
I will say this, in comedy, this is one of the reasons I never went along and got along. In any job that I've ever had, I'm the most relaxed. I just don't care about the job, and I'll let everyone do their thing. Whenever it's a comedy thing, I become a fascist. Everything has to be the way I want it, even if I can't explain why I want it that way. It's a real problem. It's closed a lot of doors. I'm a, I the brain takes over and goes, we're doing it this way. You're the same. You're the same.
Do you want to write me some lines for what I can say back to that?
I'll allow you to yes and.
Yes and?
I think it's good for you to yes and.
I'm also a fascist, but it's got nothing to do with comedy.
Oh, there you go. We've run out of dump buttons. We're not in delay anymore. You've ruined the podcast.
We're very much in delay. We're 13 years in delay.
If we're doing JDFM, it's more like 75 years in delay. 100 years. Oh, have you been listening to Hitler's AI speeches?
Yeah. I have noticed, obviously I love X, I love Elon. I'm getting a lot of full Hitler speeches.
It's a lot of Hitler's speeches translated into English, read out by an AI doing the cadences and the type of accent Hitler would have if he was an English speaker.
I'm just not sure what people are doing on there, where they're like, they're playing a lot of Hitler hugging children and then giving speeches going, they denied you this information.
And no, you go, I was aware that Hitler might have hugged a child and given a speech.
You go, yeah, I never doubted that he was a popular person.
If that was all that was keeping you from becoming a fascist, was you were like, well, I don't think he ever would have given a speech, and I'm sure he never would have met a child. Oh, he did? No!
Hold on, this guy seems all right.
They've been lying about him.
He had a dog!
We're going to need songs on the podcast / radio show, if we do it. Here was my thought, because we want copyright-free music. I mean, number one, we could talk to our friend Post Malone and just say, can we just only play Post Malone songs?
He would help. He'd probably give us the new album.
I mean, the amount of streams on this podcast would not hurt his financial bottom line at all, but also wouldn't help, and he's probably way too busy. I think we got to meet Post Malone that one time. If I get to meet him again, it'll be a great blessing.
Do you think he will remember either of us?
Yeah, he seemed like
In 1 month.
I think so. He seemed like the sweetest guy. I'm going to go around saying that I'm personal friends with Post Malone.
I have already said that to many people. I said it yesterday on an interview on the radio. They said, hey, how you doing in Denver? I said, hey, I'm lucky to be here. I just did Post Malone's album party that he had. They go, he had a party? I go,
no.
Well, it wasn't really a party.
Close friends only. Close friends only. Here's my thought for songs we could play on the podcast. We want copyright-free songs. One of the songs that is copyright-free in terms of places you can get them is Wikipedia.
It's just going to be your synth album.
No. I can't write a new song every... The show has got to be talk break, songs. Talk break, ads, songs. You know, you got to have more songs than I can write. We go to Wikipedia, and we find free songs on Wikipedia. My thought was national anthems.
Okay.
So we cut to...
AFL theme songs also?
I think they're probably copyrighted. There's definitely no way that you could... Because otherwise people would just be doing ads for like Balfour's Pies. And we're the pride of South Australia. We're the mighty Balfour's Pies.
We are better than the village.
What's your favourite country to travel to ever?
No, let's just pick...
You're Croatian.
I'm Croatian.
Do you want the Croatian anthem?
My anthem kit slaps.
Let's hit the Croatian anthem.
Let's hit it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the national anthem of the Republic of Hrvatska. This one dropped in the 90s.
Oh, you can play... Hey, we can play old national anthems too. We can play like the Yugoslavian anthem. But you don't just say... Like on radio, you don't go, here's the anthem. You just sort of fade out. We got to laugh. Hold on, I'll introduce it. I'll have it fading up here.
We haven't had one of those yet.
We have to say something really funny. FM radio here with Amos Gill for breakfast.
What was that?
You're going to love what that song was called. That was the anthem of Yugoslavia. Do you know what it's called?
No.
It's called Hey Slavs.
Is that what it actually is?
Yeah, it's called Hey Slavs.
Which is a breakfast TV show there now.
Does hey mean something different in that country?
Hey Slavs.
Look at this. Hey Slavs.
Yeah.
We've had to hit the dump button again. We've had to hit the dump button once again.
The thing is,
yeah,
where I grew up as a Croatian, I'm in this Facebook group called Croatians in Australia.
Oh, yes.
And if anyone says anything gay,
what?
The biggest insult back is, you go.
You go.
Which is their version of saying, like, you're a lefty communist.
You go.
So you'll say something like, hey, you know Goran Ivanisevic, Croatian legendary tennis player?
Okay.
He coaches, for was coaching for a while, Novak Djokovic, a Serb. And people will be like, how dare Goran, I will spit on his face in Melbourne. And then I'll write, hey, maybe they're just friends and we don't have to hate every Serb.
You go.
You go. And that that comment will get like 35 thumbs up. And they go, communists aren't welcome here.
I've said it before and I've said it again. Croatians are mean, strange, hostile people.
And don't forget the big heads.
Now, do you consider yourself a Slav? Are Croats like, we're European? Or do they go, no, we're Slavs?
I believe we're Slavs.
Yeah. It's undeniable.
Well, I don't know. Hitler didn't think we were Slavs.
Is that true?
Well, he hated the Slavic people, but he gave us our independence.
How often is this podcast / radio show going to come back to... nice things that Hitler's done for
your
people.
Listen, I need to see corporate sponsorship around me to not bring up Hitler. We better, until we get Sanremo pasta.
Let's try and find a deal. Let's try and find some sort of...
No, but quite frankly, because Croatians are very mixed looking. Like there's people that are like blonde, hairless.
All over the shop. The only way people. You can definitely tell that a person is Croatian is that they are starting a fight with a stranger for no reason. JDFM! Am I skill?
Yeah, so I guess we're done talking about that.
No, we can, I'm sorry, that was punching out. That was always a big thing on radio was...
You got to respect the out.
You got to talk for 2.5 minutes and then anytime after about 2 minutes someone says something that might be funny enough, you all got to laugh really hard and play the stinger.
And then you take off your headphones and go, we got away with it again.
I thought maybe just nothing would happen that time, but... luckily, we all started talking really loud and then someone laughed hard and we played the stinger.
Someone made an inflection with their voice like this. And that was it.
That's
frankly, we found a way out.
Frankly, all we need.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, my point is, if we are going to do national anthems, I think countries that don't exist anymore is good.
That's nice.
We could do Prussia.
Yeah, we can do actually a lot of small German countries throughout the...
We could play the Australia I Remember.
What's that?
Well, that country's dead.
Meet me down by the jetty landing, where the pontoons bump and sway. I never know what he's saying there. Bump and sway?
We tried to play that at the Post Malone party and you were like, don't do it, it's too slow. Taking the AUX chord from Post Malone, that was my biggest...
I saw you getting ready to snatch the AUX chord off out of Post Malone's hands. I thought, that would be a mistake.
I would say the most audacious AUX chord theft
that would,
in the world. Listen, as a man is playing his own album and you go, oh.
Do you want to hear some Australian rock from the early 1980s?
You go, Powderfinger?
I'm pretty autistic. People are accusing me of being autistic at the moment in the
American
comedy
scene. I'm getting accused
of
autism in Australia.
But even then, I'm not so autistic that I would think snatching an AUX chord away from Post Malone is a cool move.
I was like, what if I show him a good song and that might cement the friendship? Like, he'll be like, this guy's...
Hey, Amos.
He's got good taste.
Amos. Who in America is able to say your name correctly?
Nobody. Well, because they've got the famous Amos cookies, so I got to roll with that.
Amos cookies.
There's a cookie that's more famous than me, and so he sets the tempo. He decides how my name is spoken. You had them
yet? Is it Amos?
Amos.
Amos. Like Amos and Andy.
Amos, yeah. But I keep saying to people, Amos. And they go, Amos. And I go, Amos. Just go with Amos.
Say whatever you want to say. It doesn't matter. Yes, you know how you can tell if someone in America has been to Australia? Is they'll call it Melbourne. They won't say Melbourne.
Melbourne.
They'll go, they'll be talking like this. And then they'll go, but I was in Melbourne.
Melbourne.
like a pastry. Melbourne.
So, James, we've got to go off to our shows, our respective shows.
Oh, I thought that was a tight riff. JDFL! Yes, we've got to go and do our shows. I have to have a shower.
I'm thinking about doing that.
I've got to blow a lot of snot out my nose.
James is trying to not masturbate.
We speak about that more on the podcast over on the Patreon. This is still the James Donald Forbes McCann catamaran plan, but I really think we should do something together of this nature to try and make money.
Maybe when we're...
It's so much easier lying on a bed and talking to you.
But maybe if we're more energetic.
You think if we're more energetic?
I'm very tired. It's been an extremely difficult and taxing week for me to watch my friend succeed. And a man must wrestle with his envy And that burns some calories.
I've never felt anything but good about your success.
Of course I feel good about your success.
No, I want you to know something. I've never been jealous of you one time.
Do you know what my girlfriend said?
What did she say?
I said, oh man, it's like I'm doing this. My Netflix show is like 20 people.
Yeah.
I'm just, this is just not.
What did she say? What did she say?
And she said, James has a family and has struggled and has watched you at arenas and have a radio show and buy a house. You can sit and enjoy his success.
She's a good woman.
And she said,
she's a good woman.
And she said, and it'll make you feel good as well. And the best part of my whole week was when you fumbled that trans joke, you dumb fuck.
Why must you make me hit the button? Why must you make me hit the delay button?
No, it's honestly.
I did. Listen, I fumbled the joke. That's the worst one. So I come out and sometimes I'll go, I go, I'm fat and I'm poor. It's my opening. And then I go, well, I was fat and poor in America. Sorry, I was. Yeah, the button on myself there as well. Yeah, I'll come out and I'll say, I'm fat and I'm poor. Now that I'm in America, though, I'm just poor. As if to say, like, I'm not fat anymore because you're so fat. But a couple of weeks ago, I did come out and say, I'm fat and I'm poor. Well, I was fat and poor in Australia. Since I've come to America, I'm just fat. And it was like, just people sat waiting to see where I was going with it. And I was like, there's a bad one to open with.
There's a lot of communities that have not recovered since Hurricane Katrina.
None of them got skinny. Not one of them got skinny.
So anyway, it's been awesome. Every Australian who would talk to me would be saying how
it's
cool
not
it
pump,
is.
Let's not pump air into the tires. It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. Gilly,
no,
you're
not
an inspiration.
I'm not pumping air
are
into
the
tires.
Are we doing the podcast? We're going to have to do it remotely because you're in LA.
I was trying to set you up.
Are we doing well, for what?
To say something nasty about how you're going to blow it and go home.
Don't feel the need. I think we could do Amos Gill on JDFM. I think that's a serious radio show that we should think about.
Absolutely. That's
well, when are we doing the next one?
In a year.
Well, this will come out on the catamaran plan because I do need a catamaran plan episode. And it's so much easier just talking to a person than doing all the sound. Yeah, I love
doing
it.
I'm worried about doing this. You've got an audience now. And I listen to Tim Dillon's show. And anytime he has a guest, I'm like, I'll hunt them down and hurt them with a brick.
Yeah. Some of the podcasts I've been on, people have been less than positive. Although on the Matt and Shane podcast, people have been super nice. I love the dogs. And I think about 95% of the dogs don't mind me. 5% of the people go, it's not as bad as Wolfie. When Wolfie went on, why are you just rubbing? You've been rubbing your dick.
I have a scrot rot.
You've been rubbing the dick the whole podcast. I've been trying not to talk about it. Well, let's end this podcast and you can
I need creams.
Get a credit card and scrape it off. This is unappealing.
It's a non-visual component.
131060, what's the worst genital disease that you've ever accumulated?
James McCann used to cut his toenails at my house and put it in cups of tea and then forget to empty out the cup of tea.
Yeah, I don't want to put them on. It's not like I was drinking the tea. I just wanted to put them
somewhere. I had a girlfriend move in with me and she was like, that guy's got to go.
All right.
It smells.
All right. Yeah, she did kick me out of the house.
You say that. She never kicked you out.
She
just made it
so
unpleasant.
Hostile that I had to move out. I left
she was hostile
my
to me
listen,
too.
I left
and
my.
I didn't leave.
I
was
left,
stuck.
I left my bookshelves there, thinking that I would come back and get them. By the time I came back, she'd used them as a shoe rack. She was some Imelda Marcos type woman. I always held that again. Nice lady. Wish her the best. She was very passive. You know what? Fine. It's a longer podcast than I thought it was going to be. We were both messy. We would both leave our stuff all over the house.
No, no, no.
She would
I'm
come
untidy.
Over. Listen.
You are
listen,
messy and dirty.
Listen. She would come over. She would go through the living room. She would put all my things in a box. Put that box by my door and leave all your crap spilled out over the living room. One of the nastiest. I could never bring myself to say, hey, how about you step the fuck? We've had to hit the button again there. How come you can't stop doing that? I just left.
What?
I just left. I just left that. Oh, okay. That's all.
Well, she's got a family now. Good for her.
She had a family.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She had a kid. When we broke up, she said, I need to have a child with someone. And then she moved to Greece and partied for 3 years. And I thought, thought you were leaving me for a child.
Oh, she's putting down the important groundwork there.
Yeah. Anyway, look.
The sterile Amos Gill. One of your best bits is about not having working
I don't
semen.
Think I can have kids and I want them.
We can't do that joke on this podcast.
I'm not doing it as a joke, but I want them.
Well, you should go and get your ejaculate tested.
Hey?
You should get your ejaculate tested.
Where?
Hmm?
Do you have to pay for that? Hook.
All right, we're back. All right, there's been a lot of JDFM. Do you want to whisper the Amos Gill part?
With Amos Gill.
Yeah, there you go. That's a part. Look, that's 38 minutes. That's longer than I would ever usually do for a podcast.
Well, you're going to have to chop that down.
Nah.
There's a lot of problems there.
No, we've edited that in real time.
I'm an unpleasant person to talk to.
Yes, comedy was a strange choice. No, I think you're a great. I was just yes-anding.
I didn't know we were still doing a bit.
Come on,
thought the podcast had ended.
You're a great radio, you're a great broadcaster. I think the people will write in with many comments. No, now,
I don't know. Get a boat.
Amos Gill is great. This is part of getting
it
the boat.
It used to be about a boat.
Listen, I'm finding that the concept of a man talking alone about a boat podcast, when people come in and they listen to it, they stay. We build a big cult audience. A lot of people just want to listen to two bros wild out. And I think we should perhaps have a side podcast.
What about instead of the catamaran plan? Could make
a lot of edits, but I think a really strong first episode.
James won't let me say what I want to say.
Well, maybe on a future podcast. You know, doing a commercial radio show, Gilly, is not about saying what you want to say. It's about making the thing that's going to cut through and get the big mainstream audience on board. And that's what we're about here on Amos Gill on JDFM.
It's about women who work in PR. It's about women who work as office managers.
Who is our listener?
Who's the target?
The target audience. See, my podcast, 90% men. 90% men. This could finally be the podcast.
Gilly brings the chicks.
Mother's Day is coming up. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums.
James has got the fat autistics.
What? Yeah. I'll bring in the fat autistics. You bring in the orchicks sticks.
Orchicks sticks.
That's not strong. Hey, Moscow! JDFM. Hey, that was a 40-minute podcast, and there's another half an hour.
We keep saying this.
It was another half an hour on the Patreon. Go listen to the
20 minutes of this podcast is you saying how many minutes we've done already.
I'm anxious to get to the end. Goodbye, everybody. Catamaran ho!
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Switching between different tools to finish a project can feel stressful and disjointed, especially while juggling tight deadlines in a fast-paced work environment. Now, there's a better way. Grammarly built a writing surface that's a game changer for professionals. It helps move your ideas forward and sharpen your words for better results, all in one place. With Grammarly's AI agents, you get writing support at every step to bring polish and impact to your emails, reports, and proposals without the tab overload. Email sounds robotic, phrasing feels off, writing for a high-stakes client. Grammarly's got you covered. You can even ask Grammarly's AI chat to help brainstorm brilliant proposals, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or even shape a winning sales strategy, all right from your doc. 93% of professionals say that Grammarly helps them get more done. And now, it's your turn. Sign up for free and get stronger results. Faster work, smarter sentences, clearer finishes. Visit Grammarly.com to get started. That's Grammarly.com.